Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But it's been pretty loud.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. It's one of them Thirsty Thursday parties now. Come on out, hang out with us. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington Ave. I don't know. I mean, I'm married, and I got a 2.5-year-old and 11-month-old, and so my days of running the streets are behind me, at least for the foreseeable future. But this used to be a strip. Now, this used to be a spot to be if you were out and about. I don't know if it still is, but if it is, or
Buttery
hell, if anything,
nipple.
Well, a couple of them. If anything is in this area right here, come on down, get your Thursday night started. On a nice day out and at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come through, hang out, get you a couple drinks, get your day started, and hang out with us for a little bit. Also, we had Derek Barnett, former Tennessee Vol. I didn't want to get into that earlier, but he was on with us. Defensive star last week, strip sack, scores a touchdown. He was on with us earlier. What was that, guys? Was that the second segment, 2:30-ish? 220-ish?
Yeah, 220, 225-ish.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I got to tell you, if you are listening via the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, if you hadn't downloaded it, please do so. But if you are listening via the Odyssey app, there is a rewind feature that you can go back and you can catch Derek Barnett. He had some good stuff to say. So there you have it. Just giving you some nuggets there. Start your Thursday off right here at Buffalo Wild Wings with us, courtesy of a fine folks over Bud Light. And download that Odyssey app and use that rewind feature and catch up on today's show. Also, you can use it to go back and listen to Payne and Pendergast. This morning they had Nick Caserio on at 7:30, the general manager of the Texans, and he was absolutely tremendous, by the way. There's several nuggets in there. But here's where I'm at, boys. We've talked over the year, throughout the season, I guess, about the Houston Texans, and I think there was – you know, early in the season, first 9 weeks of the season, to me, the priority number one was Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud have to figure out how to protect C.J. Stroud. What they were doing and what they told us they wanted to do was not working, and they had to figure out a way to minimize the risk of C.J. Stroud playing football. He was one of the most pressured, if not the most pressured quarterbacks in all of the NFL over, let's call it weeks, I don't know, 5 through 9. It was not pretty. The priority was you got to figure out if you can play football, play winning football, and protect your quarterback. They appear to have figured that out over the last 2 weeks in impressive fashion, if you ask me, depending on who you ask. But there's no doubt they have figured that out. Ron, for me right now, the number one priority with this football team moving forward is they got to figure out how to get Joe Mixon to the end of the season and have him fresh when the playoffs start.
You're a little concerned about that?
How worried are you about Joe Mixon's workload? 713-572-4610. I want to hear from you. How worried are you about Joe Mixon's actual workload? And here's where Joe Mixon stands right now. He's the only running back in the top 15 running backs in the NFL, and I'm talking about from a total carries perspective. The top 15 running backs, he's the only one that has 8 starts. Every other one in the top 15, they either have 10 games they played or 11 games they played.
Volleyball, what?
Now, keep in mind that one of those 8 that Joe Mixon has played, he was injured in the first half, and it was all for none, essentially, against Chicago. So, take that for what it's worth. But he's in company with guys that have played 10 or 11 games, meaning that he's getting carries at a rate that the others aren't. Right now, Joe Mixon, 8 games, 171 carries, 764 yards. Derrick Henry, 11 games, 197 carries, 26 more carries in 3 more ball games than Joe Mixon, 1,185 yards. Saquon Barkley, 10 ball games, 197 carries, 26 more carries in 2 ball games, 1,137 yards. The truth of the matter is Joe Mixon is getting carries at a rate that it's simply going to be tough to sustain moving forward and have him at 100 come playoff time, Ron. How concerned are you about the Texans and their ability to play offensive football and be productive and at the same time give Joe Mixon the spell, the rest that he needs?
Yeah, I don't know how this isn't something that isn't in the back of your mind at the very least concerning the Texans. If you're a Texans fan, that's got to be a thought, because it's even more important than maybe we thought it was going to be coming into the year. Because coming into the year, you were thinking, like, this team and this offense is going to be led by the quarterback and them receivers. There was a conversation of, hey, this may be the best 3 receivers in football. They have what they call themselves, what they say, 6, 7, 8, 9 headed monster over there. No, it was more. I think it was more than that. I think John Metchie thought he was a part. He had a head.
Wow.
In that monster. I think Xavier Hutchinson thought he had a head. That monster. Robert Woods. They you know, we thought that was what it was going to be with those receivers and Dalton Schultz. What they invested money into that, but now we clearly see that this offense is clearly led by the run game. And then you have to even go deeper when you say the run game and actually say Joe Mixon, because nobody else seems to be productive in the run game outside of Joe Mixon. It feels like it is just Joe Mixon that is productive in the run game. So I think you have to kind of look at it from that standpoint, that yes, it's important because this team is led by him. And nobody else seems to be able to be productive in that. And if you're like, hey, man, he's getting 25 to 30 touches at 28 years old, and his running style, which is a very physical running style, he's not avoiding hits. There's not taking it out of bounds for him. He's trying to run through people, run over people. Yeah, I think it is something that has to be in your mind because of how important he is to the team.
Well, Ron, you hit several of the things there. I think to lay it out for the people, it's you know, when you talk about Joe Mixon and whether or not he can get to the end of the year and be in tip-top shape and be ready to rock and roll in the playoffs, you got to look at this thing 3 ways. I just laid out the workload, and it's real. It's more than anybody in the league. In fact, Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts has the same amount of games, 8 games, 150 carries. So he's got a game plus worth of carries that he's behind, or about a game's worth of carries that he's behind Joe Mixon. So that tells you where he's pacing right now. The workload is real, so there's no ignoring that. The play style you just mentioned, super physical, whether he's running over people or he's jumping over people, or, you know, regardless of what you say, the play style is on the more physical side of things. In fact, I mean, Derrick Henry with his size is a little bit more physical, probably. But I mean, he's a top three back in terms of the physicality he brings, you know, down in, down out. And here's where I think, Ron, the real problem lies, is the lack of options at the running back position to spell Joe Mixon. And again, look, I love Damian Pierce. I want Damian Pierce to be successful. But I'm at a spot again where I was in the preseason and early on this year. You can't continue to waste downs. Whew. The one carry he got in the last game was ugly. It was more of the same. It was a wasted down. It was, you just can't have it. That cannot be the answer to spell Joe Mixon. You've got to have a running back that you feel you can put in there. And in his own way, I don't care what it is, whether it's a power back or a scat back, you got to have a guy you can hand a rock to and you feel like can make a difference. And I'm just going to tell you, Damian Pierce was doo-doo in his one carry, and Dari Agumbawale cannot be the guy that you settle on, that you're going to give carries to moving forward and just say that's going to be the answer. Ron, I'm at a point right now, I said this yesterday, but I'm dead-ass serious. J.J. Taylor's a guy I need to see a little bit more of.
Yeah, I think they've got to at least give, some, you know, make an effort to give somebody opportunities, especially these next two games coming up, Clint, to at least get somebody a chance, right? Because, like, however you put it, Clint, as you said, his one opportunity was awful. Still in that, against the Cowboys in a game that was 34-10, like, they only felt comfortable to give one person a carry, and, you know, outside of Mixon. And I think for you to be able to get to a point where you have somebody else on the field outside of Joe to give him those spells, I mean, you got to at least have the effort to give him the ball. And if you're going to be playing in games that I don't think should be close against the Titans and the Jags, like you just get against the Cowboys, maybe these are the games to try to get whoever it is. If it's Damian, giving them more than one opportunity. If it's Dari, if it's J.J. Taylor, whoever it is, they got to give somebody another opportunity. To me, if this is a blowout, like it feels like it may be, a game that's not close, well, and Joe Mixon is getting 98% of the carries again, I think you've wasted an opportunity to see what you have.
Well, now the conversation has gone to the point of, okay, you're up three scores on the Cowboys with 6 minutes left in the game, and Joe Mixon is doing me a favor going out there and getting yardage and hitting the over, which I needed. But what in the hell is Joe Mixon doing out there, right? Well, go watch the one run that Damian Pierce had, and you just couldn't afford to put his ass back out there. Like, you're wasting downs. The plan moving forward, I guess my point is, the plan moving forward is – J.J. Taylor's got to be involved. Because here's the thing about J.J. Taylor. I love Damian Pierce. I love Dari Agumbawale, but that can't be the end-all, be-all. Like, the thing about J.J. Taylor is, if you go into a game and you give him carries throughout a game, whether it's just four or five throughout a four-quarter game, and then if it turn into a blowout, you give him four or five more, right? To me, the beautiful thing about that is I think J.J. Taylor's got real potential to be a third down back, a scat back that can do some things in the screen game, that can catch the ball out of the backfield, that has the twitch and the explosion, the burst to make defenses pay, right? And I think at the very least, he could be that. And so you're finding out, what do I have in J.J. Taylor, right? And you're also, for the short term, you're potentially finding an answer to save, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 carries a game for Joe Mixon, to where that you can end up over the next 5 or 6 games, you can literally save Joe Mixon 2 games worth of carries.
No, I agree. They just got to give somebody an effort to do it. Like, right, if they're in this game, Clint, 27-10, like they were in that last game with 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
If it's J.J. Taylor, fine. Whatever. I just think it's they could have and the plan was we're gonna run the ball 6-7 straight times. They probably ran the ball 7 times on that drive.
Yeah.
And it was all Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm glad they did. I needed it.
27-10.
I needed it.
But yeah, you got to give somebody else an opportunity.
That's Ron Ugly. I'm Clint Sterner. T Mills on the ones and twos. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington Ave. Come on through and hang out. Before we get out of here on this segment, I told you Nick Caserio brought multiple nuggets today. I know for me, I don't know about everybody out there, but for me, one of the big concerns is C.J. Stroud has had some odd misses this year that are balls that let's be honest, if Caleb Williams or if any quarterback that has high expectations in this league, from the rookies all the way up to the vets that are studs, if they miss that throw to Nico Collins, we're talking about it. We're asking what the hell. If you miss that throw to Tank Dell on the sidelines that killed another drive, we're asking what the hell is going on, right? I was concerned that it was that hand injury that popped up on the injury report last week was a bigger problem than they're leading on. Well, Sean and Seth this morning, Payne and Pendergast, they had Caserio on, and Caserio was asked about C.J. Stroud's hand and whether that's anything to worry about.
Yeah, I think that's much ado about nothing. So, I mean, you know, part of that is, you know, the league has, you know, protocols in place, so we're always going to make sure that we're in compliance, but no issues there whatsoever.
That makes me feel a lot better about it, Ron. That makes me feel a lot better. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, that was the concern of, like, boy, it's not the pressure. It's not the results.
It makes you feel better about the misses. That there's nothing wrong with
it. Yes, because if there was something,
I mean, I'm glad it's not an injury.
I mean, if there's something there physically, you start talking about a quarterback's fingers, wrist, elbow, shoulder, potentially. Like, I mean, that's walking on thin ice, man. I would much rather, because I know that whatever the reasons are, if it's just, you know, feet not being in the right spot, or if it's mechanically something wrong. Like, CJ has proven to be elite at with his accuracy and I mean just sniper accurate. I'm not worried about that long term. I was more worried about, okay, boy, if this stuff is driven by some kind of injury on his hand, wrist, or elbow that he can't get ironed out, now we could have a problem for the next 6, 7, 8 games and into the playoffs. Which I don't totally take that to the bank, but Nick saying that makes me feel a lot better that this is just a technique, mechanic, some kind of little flaw, some result of the pressure. Let's keep the pressure down and CJ will get back to himself. I feel a little better about it with Nick saying that.
All right, as we continue live here, tickets coming up. Miami Dolphins, Houston Texans tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Somebody will have a chance to win a Visa gift card coming up a little bit later on in this hour. Courtesy of our good friends at Bud Light. All you got to do is fill your name out, put it in our raffle box sitting right here on the table, and you'll have a chance to win. The injury report is out. It is not looking good for a couple of big-time contributors. We'll tell you about that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in as we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave. Come on out, hang out with us. Good time to be had. This, as people are starting to get off work, is a great place to come and have you a good drink, have you some good food, and in the 5 o'clock hour when many of you are getting off work, you got a chance to win some tickets to a big game this season. The Dolphins are coming to NRG. Tua, potentially, will be on the field with Tyreek Hill and company, and they are winning some games since Tua's return, and that should be a big game that both teams are going to need to win. So come on out, have a chance to win those tickets and wristbands, courtesy of Bud Light, and wristbands included with that for tailgate, to get you some drinks and some food at a tailgate there before the game starts. And the Bud Light ladies are out as well. There you go, waving. You didn't have to cut her wave off for some reason. Waving.
Hello,
and,
ladies.
That. As they can hook you up with things as well. So come on out. Have a good time.
Yeah, girl.
That's right. Thank you, Kelly. we have the injury report out, Clint. And, I mean, this, as we said yesterday, the list isn't as long as it has been. No offensive linemen on this list. Hell, no offensive players at all on this list. The three to really look at right now are the guys who have not practiced the last 2 days, that have missed both the padded practice on Wednesday and Thursday, and that is Denico Autry with a knee and oblique situation. That is Foley Fatakasi with the foot issue, who missed the last game they played, and that is Blake Fisher with the concussion. He missed the last game as well and has not practiced all week. Kamari Lassiter full 2 days in a row, as well as Derek Stingley Jr. limited again with the hip. But those three, Clint, now you have to look at those three in a serious nature, that they may not play in this game coming up.
Yeah, you know, I think with the way that this injury report is shaped up, you know, throughout the year, not this particular one, but it's hard to read. When you see limited, man, it potentially could you know, linger into next week. So yeah, I don't know exactly what to make of the two big work days this week, guys being limited, even though you did play Monday night, so there's a little bit of a short week here. And these guys are either injured, have been injured, or, you know, to some degree are coming off of injury. So, you know, that's one thing with the limited guys that did not practice guys, to your point. I mean, I think it's safe to say on a short week that if these guys aren't practicing on a Wednesday, Thursday, yeah, it's hard to think they're going to turn around and play,
yeah,
on Sunday.
Especially Foley. He hasn't practiced, yep, in 2 weeks,
yep,
and didn't play in the last game. Blake Fisher, obvious to me, the concussion aspect of it. You didn't practice the last 2 days. Like that probably looks like it'd be hard for you to get out of concussion protocol. So that is the latest there on the injury report. By the way, if you did miss it, Nick Caserio, he was on with the fellas earlier today, and 7:30. You can check that out on the Odyssey app, on the or on the podcast page, and listen to that. He's with the guys about 45 minutes as usual, covering a lot of things. I listened to that, fellas, and I feel like the thing that my favorite thing I like about Nick Caserio, and I hope he gives me this one day. Nick, he is a real, and when we know these guys out there, anybody, especially anybody who's played sports, Nick is a real, take the first letter of your first name and take the first letter of your last name, and that's your nickname. Nick is real. Like, if you listen to Nick in that interview, and I listen to, he goes, DR, I don't know anybody, I haven't heard anybody else call D'Amico Ryan's Dominican Republic. He goes, DR. They asked him a question about Jalen Petrie. He said, oh, man, JP's been great for us. I said, oh, he's JP, too. He started talking about the Lions. Aaron Glenn, AG, oh, man, AG, he's something else. He is, like, he is.
You're on to something.
He, like, that is his thing.
I didn't pick up. I heard DR, but I didn't hear all those other ones.
I started counting them. He loves it. Now, he's smart because he talked about the two coordinators for Dan Campbell, and he did not do it for Ben Johnson, which, of course, would be BJ. And he did not do it for Bobby Slowick, yeah, which, of course, would be BS.
It's some good-ass detective work, man.
He is smart with it, but he loves it. I mean, he that's how I know. You think he does that? You think he calls him DB? We had Derek Barnett on earlier. He has to call him DB. That's too easy. Like, that would make too much. DB, what's up? I feel like he does this. CS,
yeah,
what's up?
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, CS? If I ever see Nick, NC,
he called me Clint. He called me Clint.
Damn.
If I ever see NC, that's what I'm going to call him.
What up, NC?
If he ever comes by me, say, hey, RH. Boy, I'm telling you.
RH.
I'm telling you. Me and Nick going after that frozen.
I got a feeling you're getting show.
I got a feeling I'm getting nothing.
The showman.
I feel like it's going to be show.
And a dead serious show.
Not a show like being a smartass and like, hey, I know you changed it. I think it would be show just kind of almost an uncomfortable, nervous
exchange. I don't know that I'm Nick's favorite media person.
I'm positive you ain't.
Fellas, good to be here.
I have to. I feel like Nick would call me Ronald.
No chance.
I feel like he would. Ronald? I'd be closer to that, but hey. If he were to give me an RH, I'm telling you, boy.
Is that my boy Ron?
Yeah, because he did it early. He said, he said, ACS, ATM.
Give me one of them Huleys.
Oh,
what up, Huley?
ATM.
Ron Huley.
ATM. I think I want to just do that the rest of the way. PC. Oh, I bet he would love Patrick.
PC, PC's a good
PC
one.
PC in the building. PC, hey, what's up, RA?
PJ Huley.
God, man. He does it. Like, that is his thing. Have you heard anybody else call him DR?
No.
No. And I hate it.
It does not work for me. I have tried. I have tried to allow that DR. And
good, and there's much better options, like multiple better options.
He's got one. Cap.
Yeah.
Nico. I mean, he's got a strong one. But he said, no, DR. You think you go up to Hannah? What's up, HM? What's good, HM? Hey,
that
CM.
Nick Energy.
What's up, HM?
Does this count as us being on your show?
Okay, I listened. I said, "Damn, Nick, you really love doing that." Oh, I'm telling you, baby, JP. When he said JP, that was it. I counted them all up.
I was just so focused on DR and how much I hated it. I miss that, but that is damn good detective work. What are you doing, Nick?
To me, it was when he dug up the grave to get AG, because that one even like you now you just do that. Nobody says AG. No, I mean, nobody hits the...
Things are fixable.
Hey, I like that. His name's Aaron Glenn, nickname AG. Like, he has these nicknames that nobody else uses for people, I believe. What do you call Bill Belichick? BB.
Hey, BB, what up, coach?
What up, BB? What
up? That's B right there. That's Bill. Straight Bill.
Julian Edelman. What up, J.E.?
Oh, that's you know he did. Oh yeah. You know he, because Tom calls him Jules.
Jules,
you
yeah.
Know you know he J.E. That sounds good, man. Some of you can't work with. Like I don't think on this show we have good ones. I don't think CS.
No,
is a good one.
None of ours are good.
TM's probably the best.
Trademark.
What up, TM? I could do that.
Like Will Anderson, that don't work.
WA, what up, boy?
WA.
I got zero flow.
WA. See, and CJ already he made it easy for him. He could just call him CJ. he made that damn thing easy for him. But I mean, I just caught that. I said, man, this man really, he really forces that.
Defensive coordinator, MB, what up, dog?
Hey, G. Do you think he calls him MB?
Yes, I do. MB. I do at this point. You have given enough information here to where this is a thing.
Like, if he can force it, I think he will. I'm going to start doing it to our boss. What's up, baby? PH? What's up, baby?
I was at acidity level, shout PH.
Out. What's up, PH? I'm about to change everybody's name in my phone.
You acidic today, PH?
If you have their full name in there, it already comes up in the bubble as just the
I know, you're right. You're right.
Unless you put a...
I'm
so save yourself some time.
I'm going to start doing Cordy her maiden. CB? So CB? So CB? Do it to my kids. All right, coming up. NC did have something to say about one of the biggest questions that many of you have had. If you have not heard what he said, he gave what I would say is the best explanation given. With the best explanation given for Christian Harris that we have heard. We'll let you hear what that is. Coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is live here, CS and RHTM in the building. Congratulations to our latest winner, Diamond in the building. Won a little action, a little Visa gift card. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, as I see some people rolled in, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, you can sign your name in our raffle box. You will have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Miami Dolphin-Houston Texan game coming up next month. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box. Here, shout out to our guy right here. I'd like to see a father and a son show up in the building, have a good time, take your son out. My man got that Ninja Turtle shirt on. He said his favorite is Leonardo. I'm about Russell Westbrook. why you talking about Russell Westbrook like that? Russell Westbrook is not a Ninja Turtle. That is TM.
He would be a hell of a Ninja Turtle on Halloween, though.
Terrible for you to say that about Russell Westbrook.
Why are you laughing, though?
It's terrible, man.
It's so spot on.
It's mean. It's mean, man. It's like Shannon, man. Shannon didn't agree
with... That's little angel right there, man.
Hey, yo, Shannon Sharp didn't agree with the stuff Cap was saying.
This is all the time,
funny.
By the way.
That's it. Yeah! There you go. I had to go against him. I'm a Raphael guy. When Raphael cussed...
What color was Raphael?
Red. He had the size. When Raphael cussed... And the one I watched, we had vanilla ice in it. When he was yelling, "Damn!" That was my favorite.
Just because he cussed?
Because he started cussing. Yeah, when I was young, it was cussing. I was like,
did you watch the movie or the cartoon?
I watched them both. It was one of the only cartoons I ever watched. I was never a cartoon watcher.
Oh yeah.
Ever. I never got up and watched cartoons on Saturday mornings. Never did that. Sports Center watcher. Didn't get up and watch cartoons. I had a couple. Watched Ninja Turtles, Spectre Gadget. That was it. That's about as far as I went. Not a cartoon watcher. I would be surprised if you were a cartoon watcher. Did you get up and watch cartoons? You don't seem like that. That don't seem like your bag.
No. Well, I mean, I caught them every now and then, but I was not a get up and watch. I mean, it was you was a
get up and set. We set bugs on fire.
Well, that happened in the evenings when mom and dad was boozing and smoking cigarettes in the front yard. You know what I mean?
Gosh,
Yeah, no, that was an evening activity. We got up and hit the screen door, man. We were outside. I didn't do too much watching much of anything coming up, man.
Yeah, I was watching Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann.
Dad was in there watching Skinamax all night. I couldn't get nothing.
Good for him, man. Good for him. Well, I tell you, when my mom got that HBO, thank God for that show Laurel Avenue. When my mom got that HBO. I saw that Real Sex come up.
Real Sex. Oh, man. Oh, I haven't heard of that in a while.
That was good, man. The Taxi Cab Confessions.
Oh, my God.
I was down there. With that volume so low, just sitting by the steps.
What does this say about our childhood? No Saturday morning cartoons. Let's just wait around until Dad falls asleep in his recliner and watch Skinamax.
I'm telling you, I was sitting there waiting. Because I was waiting on Teresa to come down, but I was sitting over there by them steps where I could see her ass come down to the steps, and I'm coming over there turning that channel.
That so flashback
fast.
Button.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Previous channel.
Because of that Texas Taxi Cab Confessions, you could tell when the freaky ones was going to come on. Oh, I was like, oh, here we go. Going here. Sorry.
God, I had not thought of those titles of those shows in a while.
Get back here. All right, one of the big concerns from fans is Christian Harris. Many of you have not remember what he looks like, and I will join that. I don't know what he looks like. I think he wears number 48. He had long hair last time I saw him, but
how many days are we up to now?
It's over 120 since training camp started. We've only seen him one time for about 20 minutes before he got hurt again. But this was Nick Caserio giving the latest update that he had on Christian Harris.
Definitely making some progress. I would say at some point here, he'll probably hit the field. So, unfortunately, I think this is one of these situations. I don't want to say, you know, one in a thousand, but, I mean, it's just the circumstances are just such that it's very unique. Hopefully, once we get through this, there won't be any residual. But I would say making progress. I'd say there's a shot, you know, we're going to see him here at some point. Certainly don't want to put any timetable or date on it, but certainly moving in the right direction.
All right, he said moving in the right direction. I ain't going to lie to you. That probably didn't make me feel real confident. That probably hit the field soon. Didn't make me real feel real confident. But to the people and to everyone listening in here, and those of you here inside of Buffalo Wild Wings, you can give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you think the Texans need Christian Harris? Like, is this a need for them? Because the linebacker play, they've added Devin White, and Henry Toa has grown. Azeez Alshire is really good. Do they need Christian Harris in your eyes?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think they need him. I mean, it would be because they've got a really good thing going with their linebacker rotation. So much so to the point where Devin White's taking snaps away from Henry Toa. And right now, and I'm speaking just off the rip here, have not thought about this much at all. I would say the most improved player on the team is Henry Toa. I mean, Jalen Petrie's starting to come around a little bit. But when it comes to most improved, I'll be honest. Last year, you know, we're watching Henry Toa try to cover tight ends up the seam, and I'm like, hey, that ain't got a chance. That's a short lifespan right there. That ain't going to last long in the NFL. And, you know, he told us, I don't know, was it on our show when he talked about his dad was the one when he walked in the offseason? It was like his dad said, hey, man, you're slow. You got to get some things right. And, boy, did he ever get them right. So, I just think right now that linebacker room is really good. Could you use the likes of a Christian Harris? Hell yes, you could. Do you need in order to? No, I don't think there's going to be a loss this season where we look back and go, boy, not having Christian Harris really hurt us.
I here is my pushback on that. I would say yes, and the reason why I would say yes is when they face the good opponents, this team is carried by their defense. Right now, when they face good opponents, this team is carried by their defense. And yes, Henry Toa has been a, as you said, maybe the most improved player on the team. And Devin White's been a good find. Devin White, who clearly does not give a damn about his body, he just runs recklessly and just throws his body in spaces and doesn't care. That's vital. You just run and see 45 just show up, and his body is just, and he's usually launched himself somewhere. Azeez Alshire is really, really good. Hell, Neville Hewitt has filled in when they needed him too. But if you're going to be carried by your defense, he is clearly, as D'Amico has said, clearly your most talented defensive linebacker, and he may be your best.
Bad MF-er.
And if you're going to be carried by your defense, I think having your, like, one of your best players is vital. Because, yes, Henry Toa has improved against tight ends. But then again, you just know, what's my man in Detroit that just ran right past his ass for a touchdown?
Laporta.
Yeah, that was like, damn, okay, where's 48? That's what I'm thinking, like, or you might have to do something else different. It's been good throughout most of the season with Henry. But that's my only pushback. If you're carried by your defense, I think having the best player there that in your position group is a vital thing. They've survived through this point. But when they play the Ravens, when they play the Chiefs, if they run into the Chargers, a team that they would face right now if the playoffs ended, those type teams, I just feel like if you're led by your defense, you got to have your best dudes.
Yeah.
There. That would be my pushback on that.
I think it's fair. Like I said, I mean, you could need him. You could definitely use him. I would be surprised if we got to a point where,
you feel like a game, you're like, damn.
Well, the Detroit game that you mentioned, that was something that, to me, D'Amico Ryans was willing to risk. Because we talked about it early on. Like, hey, man, they're going through heavy linebackers. They're going three linebackers across the board. Henry Toa Toa, Azeez Al-Shaair, and 45 Devin White were in the game. I'm thinking at some point in time, they're going to come up on this play action. But it created five turnovers. Not that particular set, but it was part of a defense that the plan created five turnovers. And so it was a lot more profitable than it was than it was not. So... I like the rotation right now. The part of that audio right there, Ron, truth be told, it scares me, is Nick talking about residual. We don't know residual effect. In other words,
that's a word that jumped off to me too, dude.
Yeah, you scared something can hang around and cause problems next year too. That's the part that scares me.
Was the part I was going to say. You think we actually will see him this year? Like,
I don't. I'm on record. I don't think
even with Nick saying that didn't make you feel any better about or change your thought process about.
Well, because you look at they don't you can't, not that this plays into the mind of D'Amico Ryans, but. Hell, it probably should. The reality is you're not in a desperate need situation at that position. Like, again, not that you would bring him back and risk it if you were, but it just, there's really no sense in even taking the risk if you're talking about this guy. The residual effect could be this guy missing next year too.
Yeah.
Oh. This screams a slight tear or something with an Achilles that they're afraid if they put him back out there, Kevin Durant.
It has to be. It has to be. I mean, it's certainly not just a damn strain.
Yeah, 6:10 talk about on the radio.
For 120 plus days. It's certainly not that. No, yeah, it is. There is a concern. That's why I was wondering right off the bat, his comments there, did it make you feel any better? I don't know. He said he'll be on the field soon. Right now I'm with you, Clint. I would say I don't think he plays until we get a point where we actually see him on the field. If there is a report that he's on the practice field, then at that point I could get to a point where just to say, yeah, I think we actually will see him. Until he gets on the field, at least on the practice field, or we see him in pads or something, then the my thought is they're probably going to have to go without him. But I do think he would clearly be a major, major lift if they did. All right, we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, 3939 Washington Ave. Bud Light girls are here. Great food is here, great drinks. The bartender, fantastic. She will take care of you as well. And you got a chance to win. You got a chance to win. Not $25 Visa gift cards. Those are gone. But the big prize of the day, two tickets to the Dolphins and Texans game coming up in December, and two wristbands that will help you out in terms of tailgate for some drinks and some food as well before the game. So get in here, sign your name up, and give yourself a chance to win. I saw a gentleman in. He better get up here and get his name in this raffle box as well. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire will get you completely caught up on there may be three guys, significant contributors on the defense side of the ball, that will not play a big Thursday night football game tonight, and a big, big, big move in college football. We'll discuss that coming up next.